Lady. You can work full or part-time. Applicants must have excellent computer skills and experience with software applications. Also, you must love the Lord and understand Christian terminology. For an in-person interview, call 904-262-7777 and leave a message. First Conservative Baptist Church is an equal opportunity employer. Thanks for wanting to serve the Lord. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. We have here in our studio Dr. Reed Sheftall. Dr. Sheftall has published two books exposing the lies and the dangers of the actors involved in COVID. And we just heard that another volume of that is coming out in about 2 weeks. We're going to talk about that. But just before the news break, we're talking about some things that I believe some of our listeners may not have heard before. And that is the fact Dr. Sheftall, with his research and his expertise and his genius in that area, as I like to call it, said there's no such thing as COVID. And he was about to explain that to us before we took a break for our news. Dr. Sheftall, take a minute to set the stage that I believe is the underpinning for the balance of what we'll talk about today.
Okay. There was such a thing as COVID, the disease, but it was a rebranding of other illnesses. In other words, they relabeled the cause of death. If you remember correctly, the WHO director, Tedros, came out and said there were 14 cases of atypical pneumonia in the Hunan seafood wet market. Do you remember that,
yes,
Pastor? The wet market theory. And they are caused by a novel coronavirus, which, of course, he had no justification for saying at all. He didn't know they were caused by a novel coronavirus. The reason he said it is because this whole thing was planned, you know, to take advantage of the people. They wanted the people to manufacture a protein in their body that is poisonous called the spike protein.
Explain that a little for our listeners.
Yeah. The reason that they called it the spike protein is they wanted to trick the population into thinking they were being protected from a virus, a coronavirus that had spikes on it. Okay? So that the people would be motivated to get the vaccine. And you might say, well, why do they want everybody to produce the, quote, spike protein in their bodies? And it turns out the United States government has been on a 75-year quest to control behavior by making the blood-brain barrier more permeable so that they can send things into people's bodies through IVs that will affect the action potentials of their neurons, okay? Mm-hmm. And then once you can affect the action potentials of the neurons in a person's brain, you can begin to control their thoughts and their behavior. That's the ultimate goal. And this is just one step along the way. Now, the spike protein has nothing to do with something that's sticking off a fake virus. Okay, so there's no spikes, there's no spike protein that is associated with a coronavirus and a receptor that allows it to attach to cells and all that story they made up. In other words, the virus, the whole story of the virus infecting and spreading from person to person was just a patsy, if you know what I mean, for the real goal, which was to get people to get a vaccine of modified RNA and produce this poison protein in their body, which would make their blood-brain barrier easier to pass, pass through, okay? Right, that's what the whole purpose of it was.
Put your thought.
Absolutely. There was no actual virus in the real world. It was all made up.
Do this for me for those that are the naysayers that may be listening. And you and I have talked about it before, and some might recall it. If there's no COVID-19.
No, there is COVID-19, but it's a relabeling of other diseases, correct. Especially atypical pneumonia.
Correct. So let's back up for a moment.
But there's no SARS-CoV-2 virus. That's correct. The problem.
All right, that's where we're headed.
Yeah, sorry.
So perhaps a listener say, well, I had COVID.
No, you didn't.
So what did they have?
They had atypical pneumonia.
That's right.
Or they had the flu, what we've come to call the flu. But they had another illness, which they confused with COVID. And as a matter of fact, do you know what the Cochrane review is? It's the gold standard of determining the answer to medical questions. Mm-hmm. And they get all these researchers together, and they really work hard to get the true answer. They're the ones that said that the mask didn't help and stuff, ultimately. Right. But anyway,
the Cochrane review says
there were no symptoms, no clinical presentation of COVID-19 that was any different than atypical pneumonia.
All right, explain
that. So they just called it a different name.
Numbers-wise, tell us how you know that, based on the number of the deaths from the pneumonia prior to and then after so-called COVID.
In 2020, there were only two causes of death that went up in the world. We're talking about all-cause mortality. Mm-hmm. One was suicides, and the other was drug overdoses. All the other causes of death were lower than they were the year before. Mm-hmm. So what that tells you is that there was no, and all the hospitals were empty. You know, the media kept saying they were all full and overflowing, but actually all the hospitals were empty during COVID, okay? And when hospitals are empty during a pandemic, that means there wasn't any new disease that required hospitalization, or they all would have been full. You understand?
Yes.
Everybody that worked in the hospitals, and even the nurses, did line dancing routines every day on the roof of the hospitals. Have you seen the pictures of that?
I've seen that. No.
Oh my God, you got to see it. Nurses had nothing to do, so they choreographed line dancing routines and put them on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because they had nothing to do. There's no patients in the hospital.
So explain this. I think it'll be a little clearer for the listeners to understand. With those that had died with pneumonia, I believe it was something like, 45,000 or 50,000, et cetera, and then after so-called COVID came in, only 1,500.
Oh, no, that was flu. Exactly. That was influenza,
correct.
What we've come to call it influenza.
Right. So explain that to our listeners.
Yeah. The cases were 38 million worldwide, and it went down to 1,500 during COVID.
So it was rebranding.
Yeah, it was rebranding of the flu. In other words, they didn't call it the flu anymore. They called it COVID-19 when people died. You follow me?
Yes, absolutely.
The same thing was done during AIDS, believe it or not. So they've already been through this once where they tricked everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But AIDS, as you know, is a collection of different diseases. Kaposi's sarcoma, pneumocystis carinii pneumonia, TB is one of the AIDS-related complex viruses, diseases. And 1 week, some guy has TB, right, and gets a diagnosis of TB, and then when this AIDS nonsense came out, the next week they said, oh, you've got AIDS now.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing was different. They just relabeled TB from TB, standard TB, to this AIDS thing and said that they found a virus for it, which everyone disagrees with now. It was the same exact formula they used in COVID. Absolutely the same. They just relabeled a bunch of known diseases.
Transition for just a moment. Looking at the headline, they never told the public, Biden concealed the fact that FDA doctors linked child deaths to COVID shots.
Yeah.
Read you a paragraph and that you go into this. From a stunning report, confirms again, skeptics' concerns over the deadly impact of COVID-19 vaccinations or shots created by pharmaceutical companies and sold for billions of dollars to the American government during the pandemic. It's known that federal officials linked those shots to child death at the time,
yes,
and yet the Biden administration kept it secret. Second brief paragraph, investigative journalist Catherine Herridge has reported online that the Joe Biden administration suppressed all details about COVID shots and how it was deadly for the pediatric community.
Yes, talk about absolutely that. Yeah, well, I can explain why. It's all the same subject. Mm-hmm. There was no SARS-2 virus, okay? So they had to make up a genome, and I've talked to you about this before, about the in silico genome that they made. They made it in a computer. It didn't have anything to do with the real world. But the vaccine is based on the genome of the virus, because the messenger RNA they injected into you makes the proteins that you're supposed to have an immune reaction to keep you protected against the virus, right? That's how the messenger RNA system works. But there was no virus, so they had a fake genome. The fake genome gave rise to the vaccine, and that's what started killing people. It wasn't from the virus. Yes. The virus didn't do anything. And you may say, oh, I remember in March of 2020, people were dying all over the place. They were dying of atypical pneumonia in the normal amounts. There was no increase in all-cause mortality for 2020. God, it's so obvious now, it's ridiculous. I mean, in the heat of battle, when everyone was panicking and no one understood this, they thought a virus was being spread from person to person all over the world, but absolutely not. That never happened.
So let's summarize for a moment. The protocol...
And by the way, just to throw in another thing that's so important to understand all this, do you remember the whole concept of asymptomatic transmission?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's impossible. You can't have asymptomatic transmission because it takes more of a viral load to transmit than it does to cause symptoms. So you can't have asymptomatic transmission. You with me?
Yes, absolutely.
That's really important to understand, because I got in a big fight with Dr. Bhattacharya over this. And I used hantavirus to prove my point. And eventually he agreed with me. I had proved it to him that you can't have asymptomatic transmission. And hantavirus, as you know, the one that's in the United States, not the Andes one that they say is transmissible from person to person. So, of course, that's the one they chose to be on this latest cruise ship to trick everybody and scare them, because it can be transmissible. But the one in the desert southwest of the United States that comes from mouse urine or feces, and people get it when they go upstairs to clean something in the attic and blow a bunch of dust up in the air, and it's got urine in it that's dried, and it gets in the air and you breathe it in. That cannot be transmitted from person to person. There's not enough viral load to do it. It's a respiratory disease, too. Mm-hmm. And it's never been demonstrated to transmit from person to person, yet it kills 40% of the people. Mm-hmm. If there was asymptomatic transmission, we'd all be dead.
Yes.
Because we wouldn't know who to avoid in the street. And everybody would get infected with it, and 40% of us would die, which would mean we'd all die. Mm-hmm. If that many people
died. Right.
They wouldn't even know how to bury all that many people.
Correct.
It would be terrible. So the point I'm trying to make is, all this nonsense they made up, like asymptomatic transmission, and you have to be tested even though you have no symptoms, and all that utter nonsense arose out of the concept that there was a virus that was spreading from person to person, but actually there never was any.
So
we have not isolated one viral particle from a single person anywhere in the world at any time. Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to be teeming in our lungs so severely that it killed people.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't find one viral particle in anybody's lung fluid?
So could we summarize and simply
Good Lord, people.
Could we summarize and simply say that the protocol for drawn up by the CDC for the cure of COVID was more deadly than the virus itself?
The virus itself killed no one.
Right.
But a lot of people died from the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. It's been horrible. I mean, when you start making a vaccine with SV40 promoters and enhancers in it, which Pfizer put into their vaccine, the SV40 promoters and enhancers, and when you put a promoter in front of an oncogene, it causes cancer. That's why it's so hard to get an appointment with an oncologist now.
And what they said,
then you're going to kill a lot of recipients of the vaccine. And the, that's my point.
And the Senate...
And they gave it to, just to finish this, because this really upsets me, they gave it to six-month-old babies.
Yes.
And we're talking about the director of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, going around the country admonishing young mothers for not vaccinating their six-month-old babies with a vaccine that was making a poison protein, the spike protein. She should be in prison for life.
Yes, that confirms exactly what we find here. While the Biden administration was telling parents that the COVID vaccines were safe for their babies and their children, its own FDA, Food and Drug Administration doctors, were quietly reviewing files and found that 96 dead kids and concluding that some of them probably had died because of the vaccine.
Absolutely.
Or the shot.
Yeah, in other words, their own internal governmental scientists were telling them people are dying of this vaccine.
Yes, yes.
And then they held it secret from the United States.
Kept concealed.
From the public.
From the public.
So,
and with the Ron Johnson, Senator Johnson survey and the study that they've done, 54-page results. I call it unpeeling the onion, because the end result of Ron Johnson, Senator Johnson's committee investigations, which were elongated about 2 years in his elongation study of that, found that all that we've been, I'm going to summarize it, all that we've been told, and it's a 54-page document, all that we've been told a lie, it was deceitful, it was covered, FDA knew it, the pharmaceuticals knew it, and the Biden administration knew it, Dr. Fauci certainly knew it, so how should we respond to that for any future comment that there's a pandemic coming or there's a pathogen out there? Right now they're talking about the dangers of Ebola in Africa.
Yeah, that's ridiculous too.
So how should
the people have nothing to worry about? As soon as they drop all this fear, the whole thing is just going to disappear. Pastor.
Yes.
It's the fear in the people they're trying to induce.
Absolutely.
There's no virus out there coming to get everybody.
What should be done?
Does not exist. I guarantee it.
Senator Rand Paul, says that Dr. Fauci.
Now, you're mentioning these guys, and I want to jump in and say, well, Rand Paul. The son of Ron Paul,
that's
who
right.
I really admire a lot.
Yes.
Rand's not quite the man his father is, but he does his best.
Yes.
But he doesn't understand COVID very well at all. He still thinks it was a virus that was made in a lab.
But at the same time, he's the one that's saying that Dr. Fauci needs to be prosecuted and put in jail.
Well, he does. Well, Dr. Fauci lied in Congress and did all these crimes that normally they prosecute people for perjury on.
Yes.
But he just got off scot-free. And, of course, Biden gave him blanket immunity going back 14 years or something.
Absolutely.
So because Biden knew that Fauci committed all these crimes. And, of course, Biden would be implicated if there was a trial of Fauci. Of course he would.
Absolutely.
He's the one that's hiding all the information about myocarditis and the death in the children from the vaccines.
Yes.
So he'd be implicated, too. That's why he gave Fauci a blanket immunity. He doesn't want there to be a trial about it. His name will go down, too.
Here's a blanket statement headline, Dr. Cheftall, that I want you to respond to. Biden officials all knew of the deadly COVID vax health risk, did not warn the public at all. This is just
Public, I hate to say it this way because it sounds awfully braggadocio, but the public should have listened to me when I was telling them not to take the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on a virus that doesn't exist. What are you doing letting someone inject something into your body with foreign modified RNA in it that's not your own RNA, which is going to make all these proteins that you don't even know what the actions of them are, and you're going to let someone inject that into your arm?
Do you think...
What are you doing, people?
A question. This is putting you on the spot.
I'm not put off by the pharmaceutical companies and the government that much. I already knew they were crooks.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the public I'm disappointed in.
Absolutely.
They should have been livid about this when all these children started dying from this thing.
Do you believe, in your opinion, that America's learned a lesson that the next time there's the blanket deception, blanket lie, what do you think the public's going to do?
You would think the public would have this so fresh in their mind, they would never let them get away with saying they're going to get monkeypox or bird flu came after monkeypox. Remember, for about a year, they were all bent out of shape about bird flu. It turned out nobody got that. Mm-hmm. Now they're bringing up this hantavirus from the Andes Mountains. They couldn't use the one in the desert southwest because all the scientists know that one doesn't transmit. Mm-hmm. So they had to come up with another hantavirus from a place where nobody knows where it's coming from, and saying that it transmits from person to person, and it started on a cruise ship. They're so uncreative, they couldn't come up with another scenario. My Lord, just exactly like the COVID story.
Here's a headline.
The Diamond Princess cruise ship. Remember that?
Yes, absolutely. Here's a headline, Dr. Chaptal. Biden officials knew exactly that the COVID deadly vax had health risk and did not warn. Here's part of the article. A new report from the Senate Homeland Subcommittee accuses federal health agencies of failing to adequately warn any of the public about the potential side effects of the COVID-19, you just stated it, mRNA vaccines, particularly the risk of myocarditis for young men. The report suggests that the Biden administration downplayed all the risk to avoid increasing vaccine hesitancy. They wanted everybody to be vaxxed.
Yeah, I know they did. They wanted everybody to produce this thing they called the spike protein. It's some kind of protein, because that's what messenger RNA produces. It produces proteins. They get translated from the mRNA into proteins. They wanted everyone to produce this protein in their body so that it would damage their blood-brain barrier. That's what we've determined now. This thing they call the spike protein damages, punches holes in the blood-brain barrier.
Okay. Now let me.
And that's what the goal of it was, because if they can make nanobots that they can put in IVs and get it inside the blood-brain barrier, they don't have to do a craniotomy to put a device in your brain. Mm-hmm. You know, Elon Musk company Neuralink.
Yes.
He's taken some patients that are paralyzed and he's put a stimulator in their brain. You know, a device.
Yes. Just
implanted it in their brains. But, Pastor, you've got to do a craniotomy to do that. In other words, you've got to cut a hole in the bone of your head, your skull,
right,
to put a device in the brain, right?
Correct.
But if you can punch holes in the blood-brain barrier, you don't need to do a craniotomy anymore. You don't need to break through the bone. You can put it in through the IV if it's a nanobot size.
All right.
So you follow me or not?
Yes, I follow you.
All right. So that is their ultimate goal, you see.
That's what I was about.
They can't do craniotomies on 350 million people in America.
So what is the ultimate goal and result they're seeking?
They want to control the behavior and the thoughts of the population.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it sounds far-fetched, but I have a colleague, his name is Spartacus, and you people should look him up on Twitter and listen to how smart this kid is. I call him my protege, who has far surpassed his mentor, and he wrote a timeline for this new volume of my book that's coming up. He did the timeline on the 75-year effort of the United States to control the thoughts of their enemies in the battlefield and their population. And that is what the ultimate goal of this is. Now, again, you know I was a physics major at MIT, right?
Tell our listeners.
I've told
about
you that. Yeah. And I take my academic pedigree very, very seriously, as you might know.
Yes.
I mean, it's a big source of pride for me, too, to be honest with you. So I don't just flippantly throw things around that I can't prove. Now, the thing about making the blood-brain barrier more permeable is speculation. That's what we think it was the purpose of having everybody make this so-called spike protein in their body. But the story they gave was that making the spike protein is going to elicit an immune response, which is going to protect us from the SARS-CoV-2 virus, was all a patsy. The whole story is a patsy to get us to take the vaccine.
Yes.
You follow me?
Absolutely.
In other words, there was no SARS-CoV-2 virus. Remember, IBM has now made it so that electron micrographs can photograph things down to between 1 and 2 nanometers. And if you remember, the diameter of the coronavirus is 100 nanometers. So we wouldn't be having any trouble finding it in an electron micrograph, but we can't find it on any photograph of lung fluid. And yet it's supposed to be killing us. It's a respiratory disease. It's supposed to be killing us that floods our lungs and we can't find one particle?
Yes.
The reason we can't find it is it's just not there.
Not there. Now let me...
It just doesn't exist. Everything I've been saying has been right and all the data is coming out now to absolutely prove it exactly right.
Unpeeling the COVID onion. That's exactly what we're seeing.
And I wish Ron Johnson understood this, but he doesn't understand it either. He still thinks that it's a virus that was made in a lab in Wuhan. Mm. Yes, they did experiments on coronavirus backbones in that lab. They did gain of function experiments on a backbone of coronavirus. You understand?
Correct.
It's like a Lego set that you haven't pushed the Lego pieces into yet. So they did gain of function by putting different Lego pieces in just to see what would happen. Does it make it more permeable into a rat, a humanized mouse? Right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. That's the experiments that were done on it at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. But they never produced a virus that could be transmitted from person to person.
It didn't exist.
No.
And
Fan Wu was the Chinese scientist that supposedly sequenced the genome first. Mm-hmm. But if you read the paper that he wrote, he didn't do any control studies. He never isolated the virus. He never isolated the virus. So he had to make up a fake genome, and that's what was the vaccine was based on. Mm-hmm. That's all it was. The whole thing was made up.
Here's the thing that concerns me. You would think that by now there would be a recognition on a national basis, there would be a recognition by the federal government, the federal agency, that there would be a recognition by all the health agencies and health associations. But listen to this.
Well, the problem is that Pfizer pays the bills for all of those health agencies you're talking about.
Therein lies the problem.
And they made $138 billion on this thing.
Listen to this,
Pastor.
Immunization.
They aren't about to let any of these agencies take away their $138 billion.
Here's proof of it. Listen, all health systems require proof of up-to-date immunizations to participate in any clinical visits. Starting the class of 2027, the PIS program will not accept any waivers, medical or religious, for any required vaccinations, including COVID. COVID mandate persists even to this day. Thousands of rising U.S. healthcare students entering clinicals continue to be forced to take the shot, even if they do not want it or need it, likely causing them some harm. No longer will they be allowed with any exemption, even those that have valid medical reasons and those that have religious reasons will not have any exemption.
Pastor, they refused children who needed transplants, like kidney transplants for kidney failure, because they hadn't gotten this vaccine.
Yes.
Are you aware of that?
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned, anybody that endorses a policy like that has declared war on civilized society.
Absolutely.
When you start taking away a child's chance to get a kidney because they didn't take this stupid vaccine that was based on nothing.
Based on nothing. Dr. Sheftall, I am thankful for you. Thankful for your knowledge and your willingness to come in and let's share this with our listeners today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB.